I'll ask the congregation to remain standing as I read from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, and I read this portion of God's word in Jesus' name. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men or by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book of Galatians. We thank you, Lord, for the love that we see from the Holy Spirit poured out into the heart of the Apostle Paul, who penned these words inspired by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to see the threats to the gospel. Some that attack subtly, and some that attack very openly. Lord, help us cling to the truth of your word. Help us to cling to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, keep us from turning from that gospel to another gospel, which in reality is no gospel at all. By your grace, Lord, and for your glory, we pray these things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever faced persecution for being a Christian? I want to tell you real quickly before I share something personal. If someone has shared something with me, I'll ask their permission. So I asked permission before I'm sharing this story, but I don't want you to think at the men's Bible study, everything the men say, I'm going to say, oh, just wait till Sunday morning, I'll tell everyone. But this is something I have permission to say. We were talking about the Apostle Paul and his opposition and his fierceness in defending the gospel of Christ and his unwillingness to back down in the face of opposition and persecution. And I asked the men if they've had an opportunity or an experience of facing opposition because of the gospel. And we have several men from our congregation that are Gideons, and I appreciate that so much. And Don shared that in several situations, the Gideons have been passing out New Testaments. He said, sometimes people will throw them back in our face. Other times people will throw them in a bush or on the ground or in the trash, but in a way just right in front of them so that they can see that they're rejecting what these men are giving to them. They're rejecting the Word of God. They're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I asked the question, so Don, are you going to stop? You're facing opposition. You're getting people that don't want to hear it. They don't want to read it. They don't want to have a Bible in their hands. Are you going to stop? He said, we can't stop. We can't stop. He said, I can't do that. The Apostle Paul, in the face of much opposition, appealed to the churches in Galatia, in the area of Galatia, to not turn from a gospel that is the truth to something or to anything that is not the gospel. What we call the Judaizers were creeping in from the background of the Pharisees, more than likely, and say, yes, it is salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. Certainly that's true, but you also have to keep the law. The males have to be circumcised. And remember, Peter in the book of Acts says they were dealing with the problem of what do we do with the Gentiles who are coming to faith in Christ? Do we make them submit to the law? And Peter said, the law is something that we ourselves, it's a burden that we ourselves have been unable to bear. The law shows us our sin, first and foremost. I hear a lot the definition of the gospel. What is the gospel? What did Jesus teach? What does he want us to hold to? And the response is not the gospel. It's a summary of the law. Oh, it's easy. Love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourself. You know, that's what condemns me, because I don't. That's not the good news. The good news is what Jesus has done for me, a sinner who's broken God's law, who desperately needs forgiveness. The good news is the sacrifice that Jesus has made. He kept the law perfectly on our behalf. And he suffered and died, paying for our sins. What we deserved, Jesus took upon himself. In verses 1 and 2 of this passage, the Apostle Paul explains and defends his apostolic authority. Again, if you compare Galatians and Romans, very similar in terms of what they teach, justification by faith, by grace through faith. Similar theme. But you might read Romans and say it seems a little friendlier. And it's because in Galatians, people were already turning from the truth of the gospel and adding law or adding legalism to it, and thereby taking away the true message of the gospel. So Paul dealt with them very harshly, very strongly, with strong words. Not that he was just riled up, not that he was having a bad day, but because the gospel of Jesus Christ was being undermined. He begins by establishing his apostolic authority. Who is he? He introduces himself, Paul, an apostle. He says, not for men or through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The Apostle Paul knew these believers. They understood who he was. But as he deals with such serious false doctrine, he reestablishes his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Not that people got together and said, you know, Paul would be a good one to be an apostle. I vote in favor. Anyone else? Yeah, there's a majority. Okay, let's have Paul be. No, he said he came as an apostle of Jesus Christ and an apostle, and I've said this before. You've heard it before. I'll keep saying it again and again because it's important. An apostle is one sent with the authority of the one who sends, but also with the message of the one who sends. So Paul is saying here, when I come to you as an apostle of Jesus Christ, it's not my opinion that I'm sharing. It's the word of God. It's the word of Jesus that he's given me to share. He also introduces his Christian brothers and co-workers. Doesn't say a lot. Sometimes he lists their names. But here he says, and all the brothers who are with me. He introduces himself. He establishes and defends and explains his apostolic authority. He is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't his decision. It wasn't someone else's decision other than the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Going on in verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul sends this letter to the churches of Galatia to clarify and defend the gospel. What is the gospel? Even among Christians, I hear answers that surprise me. What is the gospel? Oh, that's loving God and loving our neighbor. No, the gospel is forgiveness because of what Jesus has done as our substitute. That my sins are forgiven, not because of how good I am, because I could never get to that point. I'm being good enough to earn my salvation, being good enough to earn a place in heaven, being good enough to earn God's favor. Salvation is by God's grace. We don't deserve it. And through faith, we receive that gift that God offers so freely to each and every one. Paul says to the churches of Galatia, again, not just one congregation, but several in that area. And he gives a benediction or a blessing from God. And along with that benediction, there's doctrine. There's teaching. See the benediction? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, recognize and understand that he's saying a lot even by that statement. Grace to you and peace to you from God the Father. That would be recognized that God is the source of grace. God is the source of peace. But he adds in the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole title, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the very Son of God, extends his grace and his peace to them. We read a summary of the gospel here. It's summarized in many portions of the scripture. Earlier today in our Sunday Bible class, we read through Isaiah 53. Gospel summarized in so many amazing words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read, who gave himself for our sins. Who gave himself for our sins. He was the sacrifice. He paid the penalty. He was your substitute and mine. Because he did something that we couldn't do in our own strength and in our own power. Even our best good works, according to our sinful nature, even our best good works are tainted by selfishness and pride. Imagine thinking that by me helping someone change a tire, that I'm getting points to get into heaven. And I've heard that at funerals before. This was a good man. He helped people that were in need. He changed tires of people that had flat tires and listed his other attributes and qualities and works. But nothing about Jesus. None of us will stand on the day of judgment if we're listing the good things that we've done. Oh, I've changed tires. I've made quilts. I've sung in the choir, good things, one and all. But that doesn't earn us a place in heaven. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not be good. The law says be good and shows us, brings us to that point of utter hopelessness when we say, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. Who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He was our sacrifice. He was our substitute. He was our propitiation. The one that appeases the wrath of a holy God. That's the good news. The good news is that your sins are forgiven. That no matter what you've done in thought, word, or deed, as horrendous as those things might be, Jesus offered himself. Jesus took your punishment upon himself so that by faith in him, we can have that assurance. We can have that confidence before God. And then we see along with the benediction and the teaching, the doctrine, summary of the gospel, reminder of what it is, praise or a doxology, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And this week I've thought, well, is that to whom be the glory forever and ever, God the Father, or is that referring to Jesus? And my answer would be yes. The triune God is worthy of glory and honor and praise for all of eternity because of what God has done for us. Because of who God is, he's worthy of our praise but we also praise him for the great sacrifice that was made by the gift of his Son. Going on to verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul warns that there's only one true gospel. In our age, in our society, if you say there's only one way to heaven, if you haven't been persecuted yet, you're going to hear it. Are you so closed-minded? Are you so naive? Are you saying every other religion is false, is wrong, can't earn a place in heaven? And sometimes we can answer by saying, yes. Or sometimes we can say, you know, that's been the church's understanding from the very beginning. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There's salvation in no one else. Jesus himself, and you don't have to believe what I believe. I'm not the final authority, but look at what Jesus taught. I am the way and the truth of life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what I believe because my Lord has taught me that in his written word. If someone else doesn't like it, you know, I'm not the author. It was what Jesus claimed for himself. And the claim, the implication is, I am the way and there is no other way. I'm the truth, there is no other truth. I am the life and there is no other life apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there's one way. He says that he is the way. And there's no other way to get to heaven. Coming to brokenness over our sins and trusting in Christ and his finished work on our behalf. The Apostle Paul said the Galatians were deserting Christ for another gospel. His reaction was one of astonishment. I am astonished. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ. Sometimes with time, error creeps in, false teaching creeps in. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about several heresies that the churches had to face over the centuries. It happens. We've been warned, but to have it happen so quickly for the Galatians, Paul said, I'm astonished. I'm surprised that you're turning away and doing so quickly, turning away from the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. And the word there is heteros. The idea is another of a different kind. It's not one of many options. It's another of a different kind. It's not the same as the gospel. If I gave you a $100 bill, if I gave a $100 bill to each one of you, you might say, thank you very much, Pastor. I appreciate that, and I'll put it to good use. But if you look at it carefully and say, and it says, this is play money. It has no negotiable value. You might say, thanks a lot, Pastor. Kind of maybe the same words, but a different tone there. It's another bill. It's a $100 bill, but it's another of a different kind. It doesn't count as anything. Except in that case, for play. Turning to a different gospel. And then he goes on to explain that a gospel that is other than the gospel of Christ is in reality no gospel at all. If you take the gospel of Jesus, add to it, take away from it, twist it, distort it, to make it more appealing, less offensive, it's no longer the gospel. It's no longer the gospel. He said, you're turning to another, different gospel. Then he said in verse 7, not that there is another one, but there's some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. We have one main message in the Christian church. Christ Jesus died for our sins. That he rose again according to the scriptures. We confess that he ascended into heaven. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And the fruit of the Christian faith comes out of that gospel message. That's our motivation as Christians, to love our neighbors that sometimes aren't very lovable, to be patient with people with whom normally we can say, oh, I'm not going to bother with them. We say, no, they're worth it. They're worth it because they're a person. They're people for whom Christ died. The Apostle Paul goes on to explain that another gospel from whatever source is to be rejected. People that I've heard that have distorted the gospel, they're very nice people. They speak and are very good communicators. They're easy to listen to. Sometimes use the term, they're easy on the ears. Oh, that message. Oh, I felt so good after that. If you don't talk about people's sin, and if you say God wants you healthy, God wants you wealthy, God wants you wise, that's easy to hear. Oh, God loves you so much, he couldn't wait to call you his child. And there may be some truth to that, but it's not that the value is in us. It's that God is so gracious, God is so merciful, that he loves us. Because of his mercy, because of his grace, not because of us, but because of his grace that he sent his son. Paul talks about another gospel from whatever source is to be rejected. He said, even if it's them, even if it's Paul himself, if he's teaching a gospel other than what they had received, other than the true gospel, he's to be rejected. Paul said, even if an angel, and I put an angel in quotes, even if an angel from heaven, because a good angel would never distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if an angel from heaven gives another gospel, preaches another gospel, deviates from the truth in preaching a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, he said, let him be accursed. That means not everyone who knocks at your door, but some of the young people that may knock on your door talking about another testament of Jesus Christ. They're talking about another gospel. They're talking about a works righteousness. They're talking about doing these things to earn the highest place, or a place in the highest heaven. And there's one heaven, not levels of it. When people knock at your door and want to invite you to a special meeting, don't go. Invite them to ours. Be nice to them. Be friendly, be kind, but be firm. And just as the Lord might lead you, share as much as you're able to share. Share. I've got good news to tell you. Do you mind listening to what I have to say? And I've had someone say, well, let me share what I need to share with you first, then I'll listen to what you have to say. I can do that. I can wait that long. Someone swore to me, I swear, I solemnly promise that everything I tell you today is going to be the absolute truth. And I knew, based on where they were coming from, that I wasn't going to hear the truth. But I listened. And as I had an opportunity, I shared about Jesus. They're going to keep knocking on our door. But understand that they are people that need to hear about Jesus. Because they have a gospel that's a distortion of the true gospel. It's not good news. It's your works to earn you a place in heaven or in paradise or whatever they might be offering. Paul said, even if he would come and preach a different gospel, or an angel from heaven, let them be accursed, let them be anathema, condemned by God. And if you didn't hear it the first time, he said, as we said before, so now I say again, anyone preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. May God punish him. and do so eternally, who distorts the good news of Jesus Christ for another gospel that is no gospel at all. Being faithful to the true gospel is more important than any praise or recognition from man at the expense of the gospel. Paul said, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You know, most of us, can I say all of us, we want to be liked. We don't like when people don't like us. We like less when people hate us, when people despise us, when people call us names. We live in a time where in the last 100 years there's been more persecution of Christians than any other time in church history. It's not getting better and better. It's getting worse and worse. To name the name of Jesus, to say according to him, there's only one way to heaven, that's by faith in him, that's by trusting in his finished once-for-all sacrifice. If you didn't have someone mad at you before, that'll do it in a quick amount of time. So what do we do? Well, I don't want them mad at me. My relatives, my neighbors, my coworkers, I don't like them when they, I don't like that they don't like me. Do we change our message? Do we change the truth of the gospel? Paul's answer, of course, was no. He had to preach the truth. And I believe the application for us is we need to hold on to and cling to the truth of the gospel no matter what, no matter what persecution, no matter what mockery, no matter what rejection. I talked to someone recently who had fallen away from the Lord many years ago and recently has been brought to repentance again. He said, "You know what? A lot of my friends don't treat me the same anymore." He said, "But some of them are asking, what's the difference? What happened?" I said, "You know, that's a good place to be, isn't it? Where there's that curiosity, where there's that interest in hearing more." Let me ask you this morning, which gospel are you believing? Are you believing what the Word of God teaches, that salvation is by God's grace alone, and we receive that gift through faith? Or have you been deceived by a gospel that might sound good, that might feel good, that might make you feel good, but is not focused on Christ, but rather focused on you, focused on your good works, on your good efforts, whatever else the case may be? What if someone receives a new gospel or a new revelation from God or even from an angel? An angel told me this message. And we can take it and we can say, okay, how does it square with what the written Word of God says? And if it doesn't square, guess what goes? We don't throw out the Word of God. We throw out any teaching that doesn't measure up. Are you going to be persuaded to soften the message, make it not quite as offensive? I hope not. I hope not. Remember, the offense that comes as we share the gospel is people hear, "You're not good enough to earn a place in heaven." That is pretty offensive. What we're sharing with people is, "You haven't kept the Ten Commandments." "Oh, but I'm better than my neighbors." "You haven't kept it perfectly. You haven't kept them perfectly. You haven't kept the law of God. You fall short. And therefore, you need forgiveness. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. But God offers it to us in His Son." You're going to soften the message, water it down, not use the Ten Commandments, kind of skip over that part because we don't want to offend anyone? Or are you going to share in a loving way, in a kind way, with kind words, but the truth that people are sinners, that people continue to fall short of God's glory. And the only hope that any of us have is the good news of what Jesus has done on our behalf. The Apostle Paul's attitude was, even if I change my message to something other than what you've heard, myself or an angel from heaven, if any person distorts the gospel, may they be eternally condemned. Strong words. Because eternal life and eternal death are tied up in the gospel message. Do we believe and repent and trust in Christ? Or do we say, you know, I like these good feeling words over here. You know, I'm a pretty good person, and if anyone deserves heaven, it should be me or my mother or my father or anyone else. It might make you feel better for a little bit. But there's accountability for each one on the day of judgment. The only hope any of us have is the finished work of Jesus Christ on my behalf. To be able to say, I trust in the good news of what Jesus has done for me, gives us an assurance that I have a place in heaven. My sins are forgiven. I have peace with God. And I'm part of God's family. Amen.